6. We're going to read a scripture here, and then in Psalms, and then we'll get into the lesson. Luke chapter 6 and verse 46. And Jesus is speaking here. This was, he was speaking to the folks, and he says, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" And he could come into our class today, into our church today, into my life today, and I suppose your lives today, and say the same thing to me. "Larry, Larry, why do you call me Lord and you don't do the things that I ask you to do?" So think about that for a little bit in your own life. In Psalms 119 and verses 4 and 5, if you found that, it says in Psalm 119 verse 4, says, "Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently." And verse 5 says, "Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes." Now, in my business, of course, I'm in business for myself, and as most of you know, and I really work at it. Maybe not as much now as I used to. I have my sons that have pretty much taken charge of it, and I get to stand in the background and watching them, but I'm still watching them. And I'm there when I'm in town 6 days a week, and I work at it diligently. But I find in my Christian life, and some of you all have worked for me in times past, and you know how it was. And I can look at Barbara, and she knows how it was, and David. But I did go after it diligently. I was afraid not to. I was afraid that if we failed, we wouldn't eat. And I'm awfully fond of eating. And I had 5 kids to feed, and they were awfully fond of eating, and my wife was fond of eating. And so I took that really seriously. But when it comes to serving God and doing His statutes and His commandments, sometimes I find that I'm not very diligent in it. And that so many times I'm, I can take it or leave it. And I can say amen, and that's right, preach it, and then kind of forget about it. And I don't take it nearly as seriously as I do other things. And I'm sure if you'll examine your own lives, you don't have to be in business for yourself, but to have priorities that are certainly not wrong, but those priorities sometimes overrule the priorities that God has for us in keeping His statutes. And you know, it doesn't matter who's teaching the lesson, whether it's Gary or Steve McNeely. And Steve was a fantastic teacher. I don't know if any of you have ever heard him. When Linda and I first came here, he was the teacher of this class, and we ended up in this class. And he is probably the main reason that we stayed in this church, because we were looking for a church. We'd been in another church. Linda had been in that same church all of her life. And when we came here, this was probably the third or fourth church we'd visited. I knew Preacher Lassley, and I knew about this church, but I didn't know any of the people in it. And so Steve was our first main Sunday school teacher. And he was a fantastic teacher, and became a good friend, and helped me to see some of the other things about this church that I wouldn't have, just as a visitor, that I would have never known about or got to learn about. But if Steve was teacher, or Gary, and Gary is, well, we all know what kind of teacher Gary is. I've never been in here when Gary is teaching that I didn't get something that either encouraged me or condemned me. That's one of the things that I got from his teaching about every week. And he's a Bible scholar, and I'm certainly not a Bible scholar. So don't expect a Bible scholarly lesson today. I just teach as just an average guy that's just trying to live a Christian life and get by, and tell you some of the examples that I found, whether they be good or bad, in my own life. And folks can usually relate to that. But no matter who's teaching, if you leave today from this class and you've not learned something or thought of something that helps you this week, then whoever's teaching, they failed. And it's the Lord's will for us to be in Sunday school to learn something, and to, or something that will help us to be better Christians, or to help us enjoy our Christian walk a little bit better. Now, if you're not on the Christian walk, which I assume that all of you are, but if you're not, you're in the best place you could possibly be, because today, sometime, you're going to be invited to meet Jesus that can save your soul and give you eternal life. And that's something that happens on these grounds every time the doors are open. And that's something that we could all be thankful for, that this church still teaches sinners need to get right with the Lord. There's so many churches today, and we could walk to some of them probably from here, that sinners come in as they are, they stay as they are, and they leave as they are. And that's becoming a popular movement. I have some friends that go to some of those churches, and they have the music that really pleases the beat of the music and the sound of the music and all that stuff. It pleases you, but it has no depth to it. It has no message to it. And they say they're getting people converted, but there's no evidence of those people being really converted. I think when people are converted, that we all should be, there should be some difference. You should tell a difference in your lives. Maybe I don't know you well enough that I could tell a difference in your life after you're converted, but you should know a difference in your life after you're converted. There should be things that the Holy Spirit condemns you about that you're used to doing or used to saying or used to thinking. And so that's what this church is about. We have today, though, I'm going to deal with some of the things that all of us, or all of you that are on the Christian walk, that can disturb you or cause you a misstep. Avoiding missteps is a thing. As I get older, I really am scared about falling. I'm so big that it takes two people to get me up if I fall, and I can't get myself up. And lots of times I just get down on purpose and I can't get up. But I was just down visiting my 84-year-old brother in Florida this week, and he fell getting out of the shower, fell against the bathroom door. His wife called 911. They come out to get him. They couldn't get the door open because he was against it. And he's big like me, but not as big as me. But he's 84 years old. Now, 84-year-old man, I'm 68, and I can tell at 68 that I certainly don't move like I did when I was 48. And so he had a real problem, and they had to take the door frame down and take the door out to get to him. And he wasn't really hurt that bad, but they took him to the hospital anyway just to check him out. While he was in the hospital, he got staph infection and about died. And that was all was wrong with him. He just needed, you know, somebody to help him up. And as we get older, we have to watch about falling, because if you're of any age and you fall and break a hip, the average person that breaks their hip, if they're in their 70s, lives 1 year. There's so many complications can come from that. And my father-in-law, same thing happened to him. He was 89, but he fell and broke his hip. And someone told my wife, said, the average person in that age group, when they fall and break a hip, they have 1 year left to live. And that's not a happy year either. It's a problem year for them and their families and their loved ones. But in our Christian walk, we can also make missteps. And I dare say the misstep I'm going to talk about today, every one of you done it this week or had it this week, and it can trip you up. It can make you well, we can't fall from grace. I thank the Lord for that. But it can make you feel like you've fallen from grace. And what I'm going to talk about today is the sin of being angry and not getting over it. The Bible says that in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So everybody in here, everybody, all of us, have sinned, and probably this week. When we were saved, we did not get a get out of jail free card or a get out of sin free card or get away with sin free card. We just got a good dose of salvation that'll take us on home, but it didn't change us from having to worry with sin. And if you're not concerned about sin, then you need to check up on your life, on your relationship with God. You need to be concerned about it enough that you hope that today you'll get something from this lesson or from the preaching service that will help you deal with the sin that's in your life that comes up this week. The things that keep us from being perfect are our missteps, or as the Bible says, the sins that so easily beset us, and being angry. And the Bible plainly tells us, be angry, and sin not. And when Gary called me last Monday or Tuesday, and I was sitting on the beach in the warm sunshine under my buddy's umbrella, because I don't worship the sun. I didn't want to get a sunburn, but it was 75 or 76 degrees, and I was listening to the ocean waves come in. And teaching this class was the furthest thing from my thoughts. Didn't have my study Bible with me. I have three Bibles. I have my study Bible, which is exactly the same as this, but I've worn it out. It looks terrible. And then I have this Bible that I carry to church, but the main Bible that I read every day is on my iPhone. And I've gotten used to that. But I don't know how to go back and forth. I have to keep up with where I am in my daily Bible readings. And I don't know how to go back and try to search out scriptures on that iPhone, because I'm afraid I'd lose my place and my memory's not good enough to I could get back to it. So I didn't have any equipment with me to really do much studying. And so I just asked the Lord, well, what would be good for this class? Well, the night before this, we were playing, our best friends went with us, they camp also, and we get together and we play Rook and we play dominoes and all this kind of stuff. And we've done this for 40 some years. And we do it now that they've been retired for some time, but now that I take a little more time off, well, we do it sometimes two or three times a week. Well, I'm very competitive, but I'm not nearly as competitive. And nobody would believe this. My wife is the most competitive person you have ever met. I mean, it's dog eat dog when she's playing a game. She plays to win. She doesn't cut anybody any slack. And that just galls me sometimes. And the very person that I'm supposed to love and cherish and take care of, she gets on my nerves when she's winning that much. And my buddy, he's a little bit preoccupied with keeping down records. He's got records of our games, who won what, for years. He keeps little notebooks. I mean, he's that. Well, I won't use the word that I call him, but and so we take it seriously. But Linda and I don't play partners. I play with his wife as my partner, and she is his partner, because we would just be at each other all the time if we were partners. I mean, and so she said something. We were playing the game of hearts, and I don't know if you know how to play that or not, but it's a fun game. And you can run them, and everybody else gets 26 points. Well, I'm not very good at hearts or any other card game, but I like to try to run them. And she knows I'm doing that. And when I'm doing that, it may cause somebody else to... I get a bunch of hearts, and nobody else gets any, and the person that was in the lead is probably going to stay in the lead. And it irritates her, so she got on my case about that. And she just kept on my case until I was really mad. I wasn't just angry, I was mad. And I've never hit her. But Lord help me. I wanted to. And she's never hit me. But I'd say if she testified today and told the truth, she probably thought about more than hitting me. That's the reason we don't keep any guns in the house. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, and he didn't speak to me. He didn't come down and say, Larry, you're a dummy. But he did convict me because I knew that I got angrier than I should have. And I didn't help the situation any because I kept dwelling on it and kept it stirred up until I was really mad and wasn't long till she was angry. And so here we are. I don't know how many miles away from home we were, but we're in a little camper. And even in a big house, you know, the Bible says it's not good to be with a rowdy woman in a big house. Now, I don't know what the Bible would say about in a little camper with a rowdy woman, an angry woman. But anger is something that we all have to deal with. And sometimes I just don't do a good job with it. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:6, the first part of that verse says, be ye angry and sin not. Now, we're all going to, if I had you raise your hands, probably everybody in this room over something this week has been angry. Maybe some this morning because somebody wasn't in the car on time or they couldn't find this or that or the other, or the makeup wasn't going on right, or the hair wasn't curling, or the belt was too tight or whatever. But we can all get angry. The Lord knows that everyone in this room will and can get angry. It's an emotion that you were born with. Babies get angry. Is this not working?
No.
Oh, okay. Well, that's exactly right. That was my next point. You do that to Gary sometimes, don't you? That's fine. I'm just teasing you. But the Lord himself did get angry. I had the scripture written down here. Let me see. I'm not much at using notes, and I wrote these down in Florida on the pad that we keep score with. I don't know how this lesson will score, but I didn't give it to my buddy. But I told them what was. In fact, they got in an argument about shopping or something. So we all can get angry. But anger turns to sin when it's caused by several different things. Sometimes it's jealousy. Have you ever gotten mad or angry at somebody that was just so much better than you at something? And or somebody will they're just so much better looking than you are, or they're so much smarter than you are, and all of these things. I don't have any trouble finding lots of folks that fit in that category. But sometimes you'll find people that they have so much more ability than you have. And God just gave them that ability or that talent. You watch these people on TV that these are great athletes and stuff like that. And I watch these golfers. I love to play golf. And it looks so simple. Those guys can hit that ball. A little guy can hit that ball a mile. And I'll get up there and I can hit it past the ladies' tee sometimes. So it's, you know, and it can make you angry. Or angry at yourself, or say, well, God, why didn't you bless me like you've blessed them? The biggest thing that causes anger in my life, I think, is pride. When I'm told that I'm wrong, nobody likes to be told they're wrong. And when you're in business for yourself, there's not too many people that has the nerve to tell you you're wrong. But when you take your family, they're all working with you. And you have sons that have much better education than you have, and they're much brighter than you are, or at least they think they are, and they start telling you, Dad, I've told you 1,000 times, you don't do this on that computer. And this is the way that you do that. And he says, And then the next time I do the same thing again, he says, I've told you 1,000. I said, no, it's 1,001 times now. Just tell me how to fix it, would you? And don't give me a bunch of lip. But that happens so much to me. In my pride, I get angry. And I say, well, that's like to smack you like I used to when you were 7 years old. But now that you're 44 years old, he can smack back now. But pride can cause us to be angry. And again, I remind you, if you don't leave with anything today, be ye angry and sin not. Have you ever tried to fix something? The lawnmower or the dishwasher or whatever, and it's this will not work. And I finally break down and read the directions. And it still doesn't work. I can't understand the directions. And they've got 15 different languages of the directions. And so you have to look for 5 minutes to find the ones that's in English. And they still don't make a lot of sense. I get angry over those things. I get angry with slow drivers. You'd think most old men would drive slow, but I get more speeding tickets than the law allows lots of times. I've been to that driving school so many times I could teach it. Probably a better job than I do here, but I get angry with slow drivers. We were coming through Atlanta, downtown Atlanta, Friday afternoon at quitting time. 8 lanes going in each direction. All of them full of cars, and the speed limit was 55 or 60. They were going 5 or 6 miles an hour. And then they'd all stop. And I've got this big 40-foot camper behind my long bed dually truck and crew cab truck, and there I've got to stop all that rig because somebody, Linda says, why in the world does the people that's ahead of all this just go on? And so we were both angry and antsy, and so drivers can do that. Impatient with someone trying to learn something you think is simple. And I need to teach this to my son because he thinks all these things he tries to teach me about computers is simple. And it is to him. But to me, it's like a foreign language. But I try to tell somebody how to do something that I know it's just pure common sense. And they just can't grasp it. And it can make you angry. But still yet, the Bible says, be ye angry and sin not. And how do you be angry and sin not? The Lord himself was angry 2 different times in the Bible. Once when he came in and there was a guy with the bad hand. And he said, he was talking to the people. He says, is it better to heal this guy? It was the Sabbath day. Said, should we not do good on the Sabbath day? Shouldn't we heal this guy? And he could tell what the people were thinking. They were just wanting to do something so they could condemn him. They didn't want him to be their savior. And he said, he just healed the guy. And nobody in there wanted him to do that. And then another time he went into the temple and there's the money changers. And I guess that was a common practice then. But he knew that not only were they money changers, letting the people make change or whatever they had to do, but they were cheating the people. And he said, you've made my building, my house, as a den of thieves. And so he chases them out of there. He was angry with them. But one thing he did, as I've studied the scripture, I never noticed this before. In both of these instances, you know what Christ did? Right after he told these people this or did the miracle, he left. He didn't stay around. Because I believe he knew that if he stayed, he was as much a man as I am. And I believe he knew that if he stayed there, and those people that were such unbelievers, and if he stayed there with these people that were just out after money, that there would be such a confrontation that he would get more than angry. He would disobey the scripture himself. So he left. You read this, go back and read the scriptures. He left and just got out of there. Nothing else was said about those 2 instances. And so I thought, well, that's one way to escape it. When you get angry, and you're really angry, you just leave the situation alone. You get out of there. You don't stay there and stir the pot. Because not only will stirring the pot, it won't get you any good. You know, sometimes I stir the pot thinking it's going to make me prove my point. The Lord could have stayed there and stirred it up, and he could say, well, bring me some more people that are lame, and I'll heal them too. And I'll show you. And that's sometimes the attitude that I get, and when I should leave the situation alone, then I can be angry and sin not. Let's turn to 2 Timothy. We've got time, I think, right quick. Chapter 3. I thought I had that marked, but I don't. 2 Timothy chapter 3, look at verses 16 and 17. All scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. What that is saying is that if we learn the scriptures, if you study the scriptures, if you come to Sunday school and church and avail yourself of all the opportunities that you have to learn the scriptures, it's going to be a lot easier for you to be angry and sin not. You'll learn that the Bible teaches you what kind of attitude you're supposed to have, what kind of feelings you're supposed to have, how you're supposed to speak to other people, even when you're angry. Psalms 119:11 says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. If you've got the word of God in your life and in your mind and in your soul, when you get into these situations where you are angry, where someone's mistreated you, or you see them mistreating someone else, and there's not a day goes by that something is not going to arise that'll make you angry. And it's just, as I said before, it's a common emotion that we all are born with. And you have to learn how to control your anger and be angry and sin not. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, there is no temptation taking you but such is common to man. It's common to everybody. The person that you're angry at, it's common to them. Or the thing that you're angry at, it's other people will be angry at the same thing. But you've got to learn to be angry and sin not. I guarantee, before this day's out, you'll probably have the opportunity to put this verse to work. To be ye angry and sin not. And you know, this is something, goodness gracious, this is about as simple can get. But we're all faced with situations that we could put this scripture to use and be angry and sin not. Can anything possibly come from our anger? No. Anger never causes anything really good, especially if you stay there and you continue to dwell on it or stir that pot more. It just gets worse. It never gets better. Will God be pleased with the way you handle your situations? Think about that. When you're angry, I mean really angry, really mad, really wanting to tear somebody's head off, would God be pleased with the way you're handling that situation? And I found in my own life so many times, I guess the Lord just gave me this down there in Florida because I didn't have anything else to study about, and he condemned me for my anger. And as the more I thought about it, I don't get angry just over card games or over piddly things. And sometimes I get angry over major things. And sometimes I get angry over things that I just imagined to be wrong. So we need to learn to be angry and sin not. That's your lesson. Let's stand in prayer and I told him I'd let him out a few minutes early, so I'm letting you out 2 minutes early. Dear precious Heavenly Father, I thank you today for this lesson today, even though it was scattered. But I pray that the scripture would be what speaks to our hearts today. And you've promised that it would do that, and that we can learn how to be angry and sin not. Go with us now as we go our separate ways. Go with be with Bob as he preaches today and help him. I know that he is a little anxious about that, but I pray that the blessed Holy Spirit just come down in our service, and we will realize your presence here today. In Jesus' name, amen.